Discussions with Ajahn Suchin in Bangkok, January 2018. Recorded and edited by Jonathan and Sarah. Speakers include Sarah, Eve, Suchin, John, Anne, Alberto, and Metta.
As you mentioned, the best gift one can show is the interest in the Dharma, because we know that it's the most precious thing in life. So studying, developing understanding and sharing with kusala, chanda and understanding is the best offering. Would you say any more about it?
Because I think that the gift from the Buddha himself to all of us is to have understanding. That's the best gift. No expectation for anything else at all.
And we mentioned a little bit in Vietnam about expectations and also planning, how we make all sorts of arrangements or plans with an idea often that somehow things will go according to our wish or our plan or expectation, but actually each moment, each reality arises by its own conditions. So even though we have all these ideas of plans and programs, no one can predict even what seeing will see it next moment, what thinking will think, what hearing will hear. So often behind that planning is just lobha, but there can also be some subtle wrong ideas that actually I can affect the future, not understanding about conditioned dharmas.
Yeah, until panya is there, understand everything, because it's panya. Now it cannot be like that because it's not as wrong, it's just weak. But have confidence in panya. Nothing is worse than it, because no matter what is expecting, panya is there for any moment to understand reality as not self.
We were talking before, we just started talking about interest in the Buddha's teachings as being the best gift for Ajahn when there's appreciation of his teachings. And we were talking about how often there is expectation coming in, common attachment. And one comment Ajahn made in Vietnam was, don't plan, because when there's planning, immediately...
Don't.
That was your words. Like, it's like, in other words, it doesn't mean one can or can't, because it all depends on conditions, but understand the clinging and the expectation even at those moments. Anything you would like
to add? It doesn't matter at all what one is thinking, to plan or not to plan, because it's already conditioned. But have confidence in panya. Everything panya can know exactly, but not now. Even if it's not now, but it can later.
Hearing the Dhamma now can condition panya later?
Right now. Mm. Only just a moment of understanding.
Right.
Which clean up.
But if there's no understanding conditioned at this moment, there could still be understanding conditioned later.
No matter who knows or not.
Right.
Reality is our reality, because now no one at all. Only citta and cetasika. Sankhara Dhamma, by themselves.
I'm thinking of that sutta that talks about the four factors for enlightenment. One is association with a good friend, and the second...
What for? See, what for? Just to understand.
Right. And the second is hearing the Dhamma.
Just to understand.
And the third is wise consideration.
Just for understanding.
And the fourth is walking in the way of the Dhamma.
For understanding,
yeah.
Only. All come to understanding, whatever appears now.
Right.
It's so true now, so it can be object of understanding. When it's not true, when it's not real, we imagine it should be like this or that, but it's not like now, arising and falling away by conditions.
Right. But if one had the idea that the understanding arises at the time of hearing, that would not be necessarily correct, right?
That is thinking.
Yeah.
Because you see that understanding and thinking, they can be the self the one who is now thinking, not understanding. So understanding is moment of having heard, considered carefully, and right understanding begins and develops by itself,
right,
from moment to moment, unknown all the time.
But the point is, these factors were being discussed on our discussion list, that when there is the association with the Buddha's teachings, with the wise, and there is the hearing and then the considering and the direct understanding, if there's hearing and listening but no understanding, then there won't be any wise considering. For example, if an animal is here, or if I'm listening in Thai, then it's not a condition for wise considering because there's no understanding. So when it's given as one of the factors associating with the wise hearing, the Dharma, and then wise considering, there has to be understanding, otherwise it cannot be wise considering. And even the first factor, associating with the wise or associating with the Buddha's teachings, if it's association without any understanding, if one just comes to visit the Buddha with attachment and there's no understanding at all, then actually there cannot be the hearing with understanding.
So association does mean that to see one another, but just to listen to the words.
And it has to be listening with understanding, otherwise it's useless.
Yeah.
One can...
How do you listen with understanding?
Like now, if one's hearing about Dharma, then it can be moments of attachment, then it's not associating with the wise, it's not hearing the Dharma. So it has to refer to the moments of understanding, those kusala moments, otherwise it's not... What is it? Here it's not meaning just hearing through the ear door, it means hearing with understanding.
There may not be understanding at the time of hearing, but there could be understanding later,
what,
after reflection.
How can
or,
that
or the
be?
Understanding.
How can that be?
No, but Achan, there
panya,
can be...
Talking about panya.
Yes, but just one word. There must be understanding of each, otherwise how
right.
can there be the meaning?
Right. Panya understands the meaning.
Mm-hmm.
But the question of when that panya arises.
When it understands?
Right. Which may be at the time of hearing, at the same time as hearing, or later.
Citta arises only one at a time. That's why Buddha taught about the processes of different moments. At moment of seeing, seeing itself cannot understand anything at all. The process of seeing. But when it's the right understanding of the degree, one knows that three moments of the seeing, there are asava, one of the four, depending on whether it is avijja, or being, clinging to the being, or self, or sensuous object. At that moment, it depends on conditions. But when panya develops on and on and on and on, instead of such asava, there can be right understanding by conditions.
The point is, when talking about these four factors, when talking about the association with the wise and then hearing leading to wise considering, it's not talking about hearing through the ear door, it's talking about the understanding of what is heard, which leads to wise consideration, sutamaya panya leading to chintamaya panya, because otherwise if it's just hearing without any understanding, it can't lead to
well,
wise consideration.
Well, if there's hearing with panya, then there's already wise consideration.
Mm. But that's not enough.
But it depends on what we mean by advance or later, because that cannot be in one process.
No, I think what John is pointing out is that these are two different factors, hearing and considering. Both are necessary. One is you need to hear the Dhamma from the wise person, and then considering. So like now, someone who has never heard the Dhamma comes and hears. He hears, he doesn't have understanding immediately, but he's pondering over it. At that time, he's pondering over the words that were heard a few seconds ago, and then understands.
That's why we have to talk by processes. process of hearing. It is hearing and then kusala or akusala. There can be understanding when time comes, when develops so high. Otherwise, how can the arahata eradicate the asava?
But it has to begin even now. Like when one's here, if there's no understanding at all, then no conditions later to ponder wisely. So like the difference between sutta-maya panya and chinta-maya panya, there can be understanding but no conditions to consider it again later, or there can be just a little bit, or there can be conditions to go and ponder and more understanding to develop. So whether one's talking about association with wise, with the wise, even from the beginning, it has to be association with understanding, otherwise it's not association.
When Kunjunatan talks about processes, it means that not only one process to bring about understanding.
So in terms of the reality of it, there has to be someone teaching, whether from the book or someone, a person talking, that's like meeting somebody, someone who's giving you the words of the Buddha, and then you're hearing it, and then there's understanding or not understanding. So if there's understanding, that seems to be dependent on having first to meet, hear the teachings, just hearing the
yes,
words.
Yes, but what do you mean by first in samsara?
Not first in samsara, I mean any life, any lifetime, yeah. Whenever understanding arises, even for Sariputta, he would have had to hear the words. I mean, it wouldn't be any other word, any words, but some Dhamma-related words. So that part, that means the words that are Dhamma-related about the Dhamma, has nothing to do with whether the person understands or not.
It depends on who's that person.
Can we say it depends on past Dhamma, whether there are the vipaka to hear the Dhamma in a lifetime.
And how much understanding after hearing.
Can we say it also depends on the conditions for the person? Because anybody can come in here, say, and listen to the Dhamma, but there may not be any other conditions for anything else to arise. There may not be conditions for consideration to arise. There may not be conditions to continue to study, to continue to read, to continue to come, to continue to listen, to continue. So it all depends. I mean, everything just boils down to the conditions that being there for whoever may hear it, say, for the first time. It all depends on conditions.
There's no understanding at all, or no wise considering. There's no association
with the
wise.
It depends on what level of understanding you're talking about, too. I mean, if you're talking about, for instance, a person who becomes new here, for the first time, never heard Dhamma before, never heard anything about Dhamma.
In this life, but before.
There must be some conditions from before, say from a previous lifetime or something like that, that maybe he's heard it once before at some point. But even if we go back to all these other lifetimes where a person maybe never, ever, ever in any lifetime has ever, ever, ever heard it before. Let's say we have somebody like that. And there are no conditions, but at least there's heard it, and that itself is the beginning of the conditions, perhaps, for that person, maybe.
See, if just hearing, Betty, it can be a condition for wrong understanding, too.
Absolutely.
But for wrong understanding or right understanding to arise, one would have to hear first.
Oh, yeah, that's right. What I'm saying. They have to hear it first.
It can just be a condition for attachment, and then it's not any association with the Buddha's teachings. If there's no understanding, or if an animal is here, or it's not in a language one understands, it's not association with the teaching. So it depends on the, after hearing the sound, because hearing just hears sound, so it depends on the kusala chittas, the kind of kusala chittas that follow, whether it's any wise association with the Buddha's teachings or not.
The thought came to me that, being very new to this still, that it is a rarity to have someone come here and hear and leave with absolutely nothing. There's even the smallest particle, some sort of beginning. And even the fact that a person came here, some sort of opening or supportive conditions. Then I had another thought come that eventually all beings are enlightened. So I don't know where this is going.
That's a thought that came, and I would let it go.
Thank you. Thank you. Even though appearances may be contrary to that, a person may come here once and leave, and we will never see them again. But I don't know this, that there is some particle there that could germinate at another time.
Speculation. And you don't remember the words, the language, right? Next lifetime, you're not going to remember English. So if in that lifetime there's no understanding after having heard, then there's no chance of remembering those words. You know, if you understood the, if you heard the words and understood wrong, it's the wrong understanding that accumulates.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what is the factor that determines what is more likely to arise later on.
Yes, and if there's any panya, if there is any panya, then that bit will continue into the next lifetime,
yeah.
And panya is more powerful than.
So it's dependent on panya.
It eradicates, yeah.
I have a question about wise consideration, what it actually is and what it isn't. I'm thinking that for wise consideration, there needs to be a level of panya involved. It's not just thinking and remembering what one has heard. Is that right?
If it's wise,
there has to be panya.
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, it depends. So it depends on the context, because usually wise considering is a translation of yoniso manisikara. So there can be yoniso manisikara with kusala without panya. But like in a context like this, it's referring to panya. So it depends on the context. It actually, any time kusala chittas arise, it is yoniso manisikara, but usually it's referring specifically to panya with kusala chittas.
So just thinking. I guess one has to know when when it's kusala and when it's not kusala, in terms of thinking. It's yeah, because I think it's very easy to think there has been wise consideration when in fact there's just been remembering or repeating, you know, mentally repeating something that's been heard, and that it would only be panya that would know if it were truly wise consideration. Yeah.
And when it's just thinking or speculating about was that wise considering, then that's a clinging, it's an idea, yeah, of my,
right,
thinking, so it's not, that's not panya.
Right, right.
And panya can only know at the time, not afterwards or another time.
Right.
If they're speculating about the considering that happened 5 minutes ago, it's just
too late.
Thinking with loba about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not too late. It's never too late
to know what now. Yeah. It's never too late to know now. It's too late to know the past.
But the understanding, the intellectual understanding can condition greater degrees of understanding. So there has to be a start somewhere. For example, in the lavatory, as I washed my hands and looked into the mirror, the thought came, attachment. That's just intellectual. But I get the sense that through these four of hearing and association with the wise and wise considering, even if it's a nanosecond perhaps, and so forth, can condition the greater understanding. Mm. So even intellectual understanding is fruitful.
No question.
I think that is the case.
But I think Anne's point is that it's very easy to take akusala thinking
with lobha, like there can be thinking about, oh, this is just attachment, or these are just dharmas which are anatta. There can be thinking about these different realities with attachment or with wise consideration, and only panya can know. So it's not a matter of the subject matter, but the wise considering itself, the panya itself.
Panya knows wise consideration and vice versa.
Only panya can know whether it is wise considering at this moment, not just because one's talking about dharma or just because one's thinking about attachment doesn't mean that it's wise considering. So it depends on panya at that moment to know.
So the deception is formidable and quite subtle.
And because most of the time there's much more akusala than kusala. So that's why one cannot say, because this is a subject matter, it must be kusala.
And I think wise considering does not necessarily have to be mentally in words. I mean, we think, you know, in our own minds, I think words sometimes and sometimes not. But it certainly doesn't have to be the kind of thinking that you know, has words to it. It can often just be a flash of something, and there's some understanding that, oh yes.
But it's still different from the fourth factor, which is practice in accordance to Dharma, because that's direct understanding.
Yes, yes.
Pina and I were speaking yesterday. We hear the terms and have some understanding of the levels of Pariyatti, Patipatti, and Pativeda. We also hear about Suttamaya Panya, Jintamaya Panya, and Bhavanamaya Panya. Right? And then there's also, we talk about Satchanyana, Kichanyana, and
Katanyana.
Thank you. What we were talking about was the extent to which these terms are terms that have the same meaning as each other, or there are various subtle differences between them. For instance, Pariyatti and Suttamaya Panya, and Jintamaya Panya. Can somebody help us with that?
So as we've all agreed, when it's wise considering about the dharmas, it is
Pariyatti. Mm-hmm. And only this wise considering can lead to Patipatti. And if we're talking about Satchanyana, we're talking about referring to the very firm intellectual understanding of the four noble truths, which can lead to Kichanyana, understanding the function, which is Patipatti. It is direct understanding of the four noble truths. So when there's just a little understanding about dharmas and then there's doubt or wondering, it's not Satchanyana, it's not firm understanding, because there's still doubt. And if there's listening and considering but still an inclination to
follow a practice or something like this, or still an idea that some places are more suitable. It's not satchanyana. So satchanyana is a very firm intellectual understanding of the truths, and only this level of understanding can lead to development of satipatthana or patipatti. And when it's sutamaya panya, this is understanding of what is heard. Like now, there may be understanding of what is heard, but when we leave the foundation, it may be completely forgotten. It's not enough understanding, so then we're just lost in our usual ways without any considering. But if we leave and there's more careful considering and reflection during the day, then it's chintamaya panya. This is different degrees of pariyati, which leads to bhavana maya panya, which is direct understanding. Yeah. So they're all talking about panya of different degrees and levels, but with different emphasis. So when it's satchanyana, kichanyana, it's referring to understanding of the truths, firm understanding. But Ajahn may have something more to add.
So Ajahn, if satchayana is firm pariyati, does that mean that kichayana is firm patipati?
In the beginning?
Yeah, that was the first question.
Just begin.
Even satchayana has to have a beginning. So it's not, doesn't mean that it has to be firm.
Not yet.
Whenever there's understanding, satchayana is beginning.
For
right?
example, there can be doubt about moment of sati, whether it's sati or not. Mm-hmm. Doubt is there. See? Mm-hmm. Because the sati is very weak.
So
and
does that
not
mean
often. So at that moment, they can bring about doubt about that very moment.
So that's not satchayana. Or is it not?
It begins.
So satchayana does not necessarily mean firm intellectual understanding.
Not to go anywhere else. Firm enough. Not to do anything else. Firm enough. To leave it to conditions and panya. Mm.
And kichayana?
Kichayana is moment when sati arises. At that moment, different from intellectual understanding. Like now, see? They can be thinking and hearing, but not moment of satipatthana. But when there are conditions for satipatthana to arise, it's there, very, very weak. But it's different from other moment.
I understand when there's satipatthana, it means satchayana is already developed.
Intellectual understanding as foundation.
Yes.
And that's why it has to be firm enough not to have any thought or inclination to go somewhere else or follow a practice or try to be aware of visible object. Otherwise, it can't condition satipatthana understanding. So it has to be firm enough for that to condition that direct understanding.
Could we stay? There could still be the thought, but it's not followed up in any way. The thought is not strong enough, as it were, to lead one to go off to a retreat or think that there's some other time or place.
Ajahn, when you were last speaking, you said there may be a few moments of sati. This is the satchanyana stage. Are you referring to sati with panya, but not yet satipatthana?
When it's satchayana, it's not kichayana.
Kichayana is satipatthana. Yes. Okay. But there can still be moments of sati and panya,
different,
of course. Moment.
Different levels.
Yeah. Okay.
Whenever there's panya, there has to be sati with it. So even the very beginning of intellectual understanding, sati has to be there, otherwise.
And vice versa.
Not vice versa. No. Sati can arise without panya, but panya can't arise without sati. For example, at other kind moments of kusa, like moments of metta or kindness, sati has to be there, but not panya. But if panya arises, sati must be there.
And from what you've said, it sounds like chintamaya panya is panya that arises without preceding, almost immediately preceding, reminder of some kind or discussion of Dhamma. So it's something that is it's not just something that that's not just something that, for instance, a bodhisattva would experience without sort of, because there was never, in those cases, there wasn't a hearing of the Dhamma previously. But for anyone, it's where it arises spontaneously without previous, immediately preceding discussion. Is that right? Or reminder?
Well, I suppose anything can be a reminder. But I think it refers to the point where there's some understanding that arises without hearing or listening to the Dhamma. So that what one has heard before can come to mind,
yes,
and be a condition,
okay,
for...
Yeah.
So the difference is, for the rest of us, it would have been having heard the Dhamma in that lifetime first.
Yes.
But for the Bodhisattva, he didn't need to.
What about moment when there's the idea, life is short? Is that Panya?
Yes.
See? It can be conditioned by previous accumulation without hearing.
Yes.
But it's still my life.
It doesn't matter, because it's right according to stage and stage.
Mm.
Not
but,
very strong
but
from
if,
the
if
very
one
beginning.
Hasn't, one hasn't heard the Dhamma, life is short still means... a person's life, or
when the idea of self hasn't been eradicated yet, but it brings about more understanding gradually when one hears the word, the right word, as short as just a moment later. See,
That's after hearing the Dhamma.
Right,
as short as just a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Could still be Kusala though.
Yes, yes.
Yes, would still. Still be kusala, could still be kusala, but when we're talking about, is it, you know, jintamayapanya, yes. But there can be moments of jintamayapanya followed by moments of thinking with self. It's my thinking. So when we say something like, you know, it's self-thinking, or ntai mirao, yang mirao,
my comment to Sukhin was, what I was saying was that a person who hasn't heard the Dhamma could still have that thought,
right,
with kusala.
Yes,
but not with the panya.
Not with,
well,
panya,
not the level of
satipatthana.
Satipatthana, right. So when we're talking about a self is thinking, there's still self. There are certainly, for one who, for a being where there is some understanding, there's been hearing and considering of the Dhamma, while there is still self lurking in, you know, everywhere, there are still moments arising where there is not the self thinking, moments of kusala, where there is not no self.
Of course.
Because a moment, yes, because moments of kusala, there is no ditti.
Well, there's no self
at any time, but at the
right,
moments
right.
of kusala, there's no misapprehension,
yeah.
There's no clinging to self, there's no wrong view of self, but when there's no kusala at other moments, there can,
right.
there's clinging to self or wrong understanding because it hasn't been eradicated.
Right.
Even the same words, doesn't it depend on accumulation to think about it? For example, life is so short. See, we have different idea. How short? Tomorrow, or this evening, or now? Even the same word, it depends on accumulation of understanding.
So, degree of hardness, softness, cannot exist without a self. The self, it's a subjective experience. I touch this, I say soft, I think soft, it's already there, I. Think soft, there's no experience of it without the self.
No, when if you accidentally touch a hot stove, is that a self who reacts?
Yes.
Necessarily?
Oh,
No.
The moment of touching, whatever is touched, it's just touching which touches that tangible object. And there can be thinking about it in any way. Even a Buddha knows what kind of tangible object is touched, hot or cold or in between. So there doesn't have to be any idea of self at all related to it.
It does mean that self arises all the time. That's why we learn to understand with what kind of citta it arises.
And thinking of I or me doesn't necessarily mean thinking with the idea of self.
Being aware of anatta is still a different moment. It's not, it has to be kusala with panya only to see the reality as anatta.
But when reality is not being seen as anatta, it doesn't mean it's being taken for self.
Like most of the day, there's just thinking about what's touched and seen with ignorance and attachment. No thought about self at all.
I have a question from a friend on our discussion this, which relates a little bit to what we were saying about the Bodhisattva and for us and disciples. The question is it correct to say that in the case of the Bodhisattva, the paramis, including understanding and all paramis, were being developed in all lives, even including animal lives? For the main disciples, the paramis were being developed in all lives, but not animal lives, because panya wasn't being developed in animal lives. And for other people like us, only in lives where we hear the teachings.
What is parami?
It's the development of kusala qualities as conditioned by right understanding of realities.
If there is no understanding of reality, can that be parami?
No. So in the case of the Bodhisattva, as we said, then in his countless lives, paramis were being accumulated and developed, conditioned by understanding because of having heard previous Buddhas. So even in any lives, those paramis were being developed, including understanding, but not to the degree of vipassana jnana, but still understanding the paramis were being accumulated in all lives, even in lives as a deer or an animal.
When one understands the teachings and reality, it does mean that I intend to have parami.
No.
But it's motivated by the accumulation of parami, no matter in what life.
And so in the case of the main disciples in all those lives, the paramis were being developed, even though there wasn't any understanding of the teachings in those other lives. But because of having heard the teachings before from previous Buddhas, the paramis continued to be accumulated because they had to be accumulated to such a high degree to be the disciples in the Buddha's time.
And when there's understanding, one knows that it's parami. Yes. No matter one thing, whether it's parami or not, but it is.
And so in our case, like in this lifetime, conditions for understanding, so paramis can be developed. But in past lives, when there wasn't any hearing of the Buddha's teachings, can one say paramis could still have been developed, conditioned by understanding in the past?
Different
can be.
Life.
In different lives, yes. So in any life.
Very kind cat.
See.
So paramis
being developed.
We don't know.
And we don't know.
So very kind cat is a bodhisattva.
Who knows?
But may not be, since according to you, only a bodhisattva can develop paramis as an animal.
Not me.
Oh.
So this is a friend's question. Yeah. So this is the
question. So, okay, paramis can be developed in any life, but understanding... Can understanding only be developed in an animal life for the bodhisattva or for anyone?
They are all sankhara khandas.
But
actually animals can't develop understanding.
What about yesterday? Our life yesterday? Just like animal. Seeing, hearing, thinking like
that. So there could have been kindness, but not any understanding.
It depends. All depends on sankhara, kanda.
Yeah.
We don't know what would happen. What about dog's life yesterday and our life yesterday? Citta, jitasika.
Well, usually we say this
is a precious one because there is the opportunity to develop understanding, whereas for animals, they cannot.
Yeah, but what's in there before becoming an animal?
Right, okay, so there's that tendency that's been accumulated, so we don't know what it will condition any time.
That's interesting. Please excuse me. So a bodhisattva can develop understanding as an animal?
Not developing, but no. It's there by accumulation.
Parami, though, can... All right, thank you.
It's never lost.
Yes,
it's there.
But usually it would just be there, dormant, but in the bodhisattva's case, it can be special or different. Yeah.
But it's not dormant, do you say? It's just expressed?
In that lifetime.
In that lifetime? Is it development of panya as an animal? You were just saying...
What about our life yesterday?
Can be with panya or not.
What about day before yesterday?
Still a human.
Citta, cetasika, and rupa, depending on conditions each moment. We call it dog, cat, human being, but actually they are just citta and cetasikas. Lopa is lopa, dosa is dosa. Latent tendency is there.
It depends also whether one's talking about latent tendencies or kusala that arises.
I was hearing about after seeing and hearing and sensory processes. After body sense process, there can be dukkha feeling, and after that there can be mental process with domanasa feeling, and so we feel bad about the things that we see, we hear, we taste, we smell, and we touch, and that's by after vipaka we make we have akusala, more akusala with domanasa, with dosa, and that's making even worse the what's already happened before the what I'm trying to say is that we had akusala vipaka, then we make things worse with by my mind of thinking about by feeling guilty or feeling bad or feeling aversion or feeling or having aversion or actually having like a second arrow after receiving the first arrow, then we ourselves make the
and if
make things worse.
If it's pleasant object, there's attachment.
Yes, so
whether
that's
it's
true.
Pleasant or unpleasant,
but that's
the same.
It's a second arrow as well, Loba?
Well, there's maybe no first arrow in that case, but the norm is agusala throughout the day.
Yes, that's true, yeah. But that's pleasant, I think. That's not
whether it's
not so bad.
Object. Not so bad?
Not so bad.
Bad in what sense?
By feeling.
Attachment is the originator of dukkha, according to the second noble truth.
Yes. Okay, but we don't. We usually don't mind about if there is a pleasant feeling after.
Yeah, we don't mind as much, right? I agree with that. That doesn't mean it's less bad.
And why is there so much unpleasant, pleasant feeling for it?
Because it's taken for something or for me instead of just a passing dhamma that doesn't last for an instant. So this aversion to what is unpleasant because of the importance one attaches to feeling. One wants pleasant feeling and clings so much to it. And that's why it's aversion when it's unpleasant, taking it for something lasting, not just a dhamma that has to be that way, can't be any other way. My unpleasantness, my unpleasant feeling, instead of just a very impermanent dhamma.
It's gone. Completely. No return. Only once in samsara, each moment. As sure as that. Do you like this one?
I prefer the...
So always Loba looking for pleasant object, pleasant feeling.
But even the first taste of the same kind, the second time is different. Never the same at all in samsara. Just once. That's all, completely gone. No one, no self, no thing. It's only thinking, taking it for something permanent.
What is
the question? Is the question how to have less unpleasant feeling for oneself, or what is the question?
It's just a general consideration about how we make things worse, how we add up more trouble to the really trouble situation. We make it worse by the second.
Which is the more dangerous, loba or dosa?
Oh, more. Okay.
Everyone always wants to find out about
unpleasant feeling and dosa because no one likes it, but no one wants to find out about the problem of pleasant feeling or the problem of attachment. But without ignorance and attachment, no dosa. And as Jan said, when it's understood, it's just a dhamma that's gone completely. What is it one's upset about? Because it's completely gone. For example, someone might say something one doesn't like, but that sound was gone so long ago. What is it one's bothered about? Actually, just about dhammas that have passed a long time ago. So understanding is the only way.
Yeah, even if avijja is so much that we cannot expect to things get better very, very quickly or very easily, or so it's going to be like this with loba and dosa and avijja for a long time ahead as well.
So actually,
however much dosa it is, however much unpleasant feeling, they're just dharmas that pass, and it can't be any other way. So the only problem is actually taking it for something or for mine.
I think if we think about how much agusala there is, it's not conducive. It can be discouraging. It may be more useful to think about how there can be development of gusala, particularly understanding at any time. And understanding is much more powerful than the agusala factors.
Only just because panya is not strong enough. That's all. So no wonder only Panya is not strong.
So for the person who has developed Panya, the akusala is not seen as such a problem at all. It's a danger, but not a problem in the sense that we think about it.
Yeah. And given that the root of the problem is ignorance, right? So our, you know, seeing particularly the danger of one, any other akusala, and forgetting that it's actually the root is ignorance, I think that is showing less understanding. Because if it's a tayana, then it's one knows that it's one must, it doesn't matter what has arisen. It's understanding whatever has arisen, that's the key. So whatever kusla, akusla, it's understanding that needs to be developed.
A minute ago, Jonathan mentioned something about if there's been understanding developed, that it's not that the kusala won't arise, it will, but that it won't arise being such a problem because there's understanding. And I was thinking, well, so long as the understanding arises, that is the case, but no one's to say, you can't say when understanding will arise and when it won't. And although I think we'd like to think that once there is a firm understanding developed, that things will get easier and things like akusala, there will be more understanding of them and it won't bother so much, that's going to be very dependent on conditions at the time. So I just don't think it should be a quick fix.
And that's all just clinging and expecting, right, and thinking about the future. It's not understanding now.
That's right. Even with developed understanding, understanding may not understand now.
So what do we...
develop understanding, no expectations.
Hearing,
yes.
The teachings.
Hearing.
More and more.
Right.
The only way.
Yeah. And no expectations.
Panya knows that it's not self, even expectation.
No expectations about no expectations.
Look, things will be this way or that way.
Hoping or wishing for some other way or quick fix, that's the wrong understanding, conditioning, wrong practice, even at that moment, even an idea that something else can be done or something can make it happen now so that there is less akusala. So it creeps in, that's not the understanding at that moment. But it's just a dharma, it's common, but it can be understood too when it arises. Because we know how subtle ditti has to be, because it's an asava, has to be much more subtle. So even at that moment of wishing or hoping or thinking there could be some other way to get rid of akusala, it can be known then.
Yes. It has to be known eventually.
All depends on not enough understanding. That's all.
What do you mean, Chan? All depends on
life today. Every moment. What about it's gone? Can condition very present moment when there's right understanding? Nothing at all.
And only Dharma. Mm-hmm.
Just the Dharma that's gone.
Very, very brief, very, very short.
And when it's gone, the understanding of when it's gone, at that time there's no thinking about whether what's gone was a kusala or whatever dharma, it's gone.
Yeah, and it will lead to more and more understanding until it's the moment of penetration, the truth right in. right now, exactly the same. It's now the understanding, but it's not clear understanding yet.
We know that if we're talking about attachment, for example, or wrong view, there are different degrees, and when it's asava, it's a very subtle one that, for example, can even arise in the sense door process. And when one's referring to upadana, for example, as in kanda upadana, upadana is referring to the strong clinging, the wanting to take or have something. Now, if one's talking about kanda upadana, for example, rupa upadana, such as clinging to visible object, usually one would think of the strong clinging as arising after a lot of thinking about the concept, about the object, so clinging to the idea of a house or a smartphone, for example, whereas the clinging that arises just a visible object, one would think of as being the asava. So when it's talking about kanda upadana, is it referring to the clinging not just to the reality, but also to the concepts about the realities, anything?
Clinging is not self. It's a reality. And when we talk about upadana, we think that it is stronger than tanha. But if we talk in details, the first moment has less clinging than the second one.
Right, so talking about the seven javana chittas, yeah. The first one is mm-hmm. weaker, but it's still the same object. Mm-hmm. So if one's talking about usually that process with lobha, the degree of upadana, stronger than just tanha, usually it would be in a mind or process after a lot of thinking. So even when it's to the concept about reality, for example, the concept about what is seen or heard, it's still rupupadana, even though it's not actually to the reality, but to the concept about the reality.
Actually, at that moment, there is clinging to the self.
Because it's something...
At that moment, you mean?
Or at the moment of thinking.
Thinking, yes. And that's when it's upadana, so it's yes. taking that object for being something, and that's what is meant by rupa upadana at that moment then.
The clinging arises with thinking.
With thinking, yes.
So, sanya, the marking, isn't necessarily clinging.
No, sanya is not clinging.
Yes.
Sanya is...
Yes. And trying to understand is simply lobha, ignorance.
Okay. And often it could be wrong view, an idea that by trying there can be understanding, which is not the natural development of understanding, because it's the idea, like we just mentioned, the idea that somehow by doing something, by thinking more or trying, understanding can arise. Actually, it's wrong practice at that moment.
Yes, thank you. Moment of gratitude. Mm-hmm.
And as Anne said, that's when it can be known, that wrong view and wrong practice can only be known when it arises, not by thinking about it at another time, but when it appears.
And that's panya.
That's panya, that can know it as a dhamma.
So more and more
subtle kinds of wrong view have to be understood or known when they arise before the subtlest ones are eradicated at the stage of sotapanna.
And clinging to something positive is just as much suffering as aversion to something negative. So it's the dosa, it's the suffering anyhow. And it's long gone, sanya marked, and then clinging to it to somehow the delusion of trying to prolong this kusala when it's gone, just in a flash. And rethinking about it or feeling the guilt and so forth that was mentioned earlier is simply clinging to the suffering. It continues.
It's so subtle and powerful, isn't it?
And what do you mean by suffering?
Dosa, attachment, the clinging, and it's all out of ignorance.
And can one say any conditioned reality is suffering, is dukkha, even panya is dukkha because it arises and falls away and there can be clinging to panya too. So any conditioned reality, seeing now, hearing.
Can we
Sabe sankara dukkha.
Can we think of dukkha, unsatisfactoriness, as a characteristic of dhammas rather than a subjective experience? The term dukkha covers many degrees or depths of unsatisfactoriness. It includes dosa, but not limited to that.
Yes. Can ask, is clinging always strong attachment?
Usually clinging is a translation of upadana. It's stronger than just attachment. It's really trying to hold on, really holding on. So it's strong attachment. So upadana is stronger than just common attachment. And Ajahn mentioned when it's strong attachment, often there's the idea of something or someone there. It's a stronger clinging to a house or a table, really taking it for being something at that time.
Okay, thank you. So attachment arises and goes.
Microphone.
Attachment arises and goes. It just comes and goes. It's so...
Yeah. Like all dhammas, yes. Apart from nibbana.
Thank you.
Upadana can arise with sense objects, color, sound.
So what is upadana? Strong clinging.
Strong clinging. So it can, for example, cling
to any objects.
To color. Even one opens one's eyes and sees a particular color, there can be strong enough attachment.
What about the selection between white and black? Which one do you prefer?
But that's usually after a lot of thinking.
No, accumulation.
So accumulation.
Yes.
Or taste. Immediately, when something is tasted, perhaps.
And concepts are sense objects? Concepts
are sense objects.
Concepts are concepts, not sense objects. Sense objects, he's talking about visible objects, sound, different realities. Odor, taste, tangible objects. Concepts are not realities. They don't arise and fall away.
Thoughts are things. Thoughts are things.
Thoughts are concepts. What is thought about is a concept, an idea,
so
not a reality.
Thought, clinging to a thought.
There can be clinging to anything at all except for nibbana or Lokuttara dharmas can be clinging to anything, anytime. Like to softness instantly.
Or memory of softness.
Yeah. So, in terms
of sense objects are realities, visible object, sound, except until they're experienced directly, the satipatthana, they are concepts for us. Until they're really known, and they're not really known until panya experiences them directly, they are. They're concepts. Isn't that right? The distinction between knowing a reality and thinking about a reality. At this point, we can only think about reality.
Right, but when you talk about direct experience, the sensed or consciousness does directly experience
yes.
the sensed or object. But when we talk about knowing or understanding the nature
yes.
of that object, then that's a function of panya.
Yes, you just made that. That's quite right, and I didn't make that distinction when I was talking about it.
It's like the point that was made about no self before, whether or not there's any understanding. Actually, there's never any self, and whether or not there's any understanding, there are only realities experienced through the five sense doors.
Quite right.
It's just that the truth is covered up, but it's still realities that are experienced.
That's right, and the sense objects are realities, but the truth is covered up until Banya can know the sense objects. Yeah.
So what appears now?
What appears or what is known as a reality?
What appears?
What appears?
Yes, I heard that. Realities appear.
The nimitta.
Oh, the nimitta of realities, yes. Yes.
So when there is pain through the body door, that's real.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what
is also thinking
again?
About it.
Nimitta, all the
reality, right.
Hardness or the heat.
It's real.
The painful of the headache,
real.
For example. Yeah, it's real.
It's a reality. I guess the point I'm trying to make is that that reality is not known by Banya. And until it is known by Banya, it's a reality. I guess we not only think about it, but like you're right, the pain is real.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the same as a moment of satipatthana, which knows that pain, that feeling. Who knows the characteristics of it? If it were,
then
there's a lot of thinking about it. With or without wrong understanding, though.
Right.
There can be thinking about
right.
it without wrong understanding.
Right.
But it's only if there's thinking about it with Banya that its true characteristic is seen.
That's right. You're expressing this better than I did, but yes, that's the point I'm
at the moment of touching, what appears?
Hardness.
The nimitta of hardness.
Sorry, that's right, the nimitta of hardness.
Yes. Sorry, because a moment
will not appear. It's the nimitta, it's the succession.
Beyond.
Pardon?
It cannot appear just one
that's
single.
That's right, yeah. Yes, that's right. It's the succession.
So fast. Gone completely. Only the succession as nimitta appear.
And ignorance experience hardness?
No.
Why not? Yeah, but it does experience. It's a nama that experiences an object.
Okay, does ignorance experience as if ignorance cannot know it?
Does not understand it.
Does not understand the characteristic, right?
And I want to check then about whether something I said in Vietnam might have been incorrect, because actually it's the nimitta which appears, and even if it's developed understanding, even if it's vipassana jnana, it's the nimitta of reality, not one reality that appears. And when it is vipassana jnana, there has to be understanding through the mind of the nimitta of many different realities. And I mentioned that actually in the case of rupa, like visible object or sound, there can be understanding through sense door or mind door, but actually if it's nimitta of reality, it can only be through the mind door. So that's why it can actually only be through the mind door when we're talking about nimitta of realities.
But since they arise and fall away in split seconds in succession, what is left is only the image.
Yes.
So it's nimitta.
Nimitta. So then it has to only be through the mind door. So the panya can also arise in sense doors.
Right,
so
that's wrong enough. The sense that was there to be known, too.
Has to be known, yes. Mm. So it's correct. Any doorway, then.
Otherwise, how can there be the understanding of visible object as it is?
Because the nimitta appears through the mind door. So it can be known.
But before mind door?
It has to be through sense door so fast. So that's why I said it cannot be known whether it's sense door or mind door, because it's just the reality at that moment.
But from understanding, understands the difference at
between
that it's covered up. Usually in the day, the sense door covered up, mind door.
Yes.
We don't know. But at moment, how short the sense door is just to appear as different objects of sense door.
And then immediately it's the
but the mind door is there.
Yes.
but it can experience the sense. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's okay then.
Almost give the opportunity for sensa to appear, but it's there. So shorter, much shorter than mind.
That's usually, if it's one's talking about
understanding of nimitta, can only be through the mind door.
And
so
we understand that all objects have to appear to mind door.
Through the mind door, yes.
And because even in the
development of the pasana jnanas, it's still the nimitta of the reality that appears, but the understanding, for example, obviously the Buddha's understanding, the disciples' understanding is of realities, not just nimitta, but the actual realities.
Just one characteristic, like nimitta of sanya, no yes. other.
No.
Paramattha Dhamma, except sanya, is nimitta.
So even when it's highly developed, still
just
nimitta.
One characteristic at a time.
What's the meaning of sankhara khanda?
Can anyone arise by itself alone? So it needs other things to support.
Oh, okay, that's coming.
Like Chetasika support Chitta by different ways of Pajya.
So it's not what I used to think, that the Sankhara there means dhammas that accumulate. It's just conditioned.
That's why Chitta, Chetasika, Rupa are Sankhara Dhamma. But for Sankhara Khanda, just talk about 52 jetasikas.
50?
50 jetasikas.
Mm-hmm. So this distinction is...
the importance of each as it is. For example, without Vedana, the world means nothing. No struggle.
So basically, the other dhammas are also Sankhara dhammas, but in this case, are all Sankhara. Means conditioned. So in this case, when we say Sankhara Khanda, we're just simply saying, yes, it's all dhammas are Sankhara, but Chitta is important. I mean, it's like Sanya is a different this way, Vedana is different this way, Chitta is different this way, and Rupa is different from other dhammas. Is that the meaning?
So what influences one's life to go on, keep on? Vedana is very important. And without sanya, no remembering of Vedana at all. One does not have to struggle so hard.
But if asked to choose the most important mental factors, one wouldn't choose sanya, for example. What about attachment as the origin of suffering, or ignorance that's a condition for rebirth?
But you wouldn't even choose if sanya wasn't there to make you think.
Yeah, I know, but of course you can't live without sanya. It goes without saying, but in terms of having an explanation for why this, and this, that's very difficult to see. On your question of Sankhara Khanda, I mean, it might just mean something like the rest, because they're all conditioned dhammas, but the rest are in that one group.
And all kusala,
that kusala accumulates and needs the support of other mental factors and citta, so they all accumulate together.
Yes, that's what I understood before, but then I thought about those chetasikas which are not necessarily kusala, like the seven universals. So that wouldn't apply. The meaning of accumulate wouldn't apply to manasikara or jivitindriya, hasa, right?
And citta itself,
which is not sankhara khanda, also accumulates when it's kusala and akusala.
For example, even nothing appeared at all, sanya is there.
Which reminds me that I think in Vietnam you said during one discussion, close your eyes, what appears? Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Sanya is there.
Right. And the reason nothing appears
Is that because so much attention is being paid to visible object that when the eyes then close, there's no...
No condition to have different colors.
Right. And that's where all the attention normally goes. It is true, though, isn't it, that when you do close your eyes, you can struggle to say what's appearing until you think about it a bit, and then things start to appear.
Yeah, but what is there? See, try to find out whether there is something or not there.
Isn't there darkness there?
It depends on light.
That's true. But there's an object, isn't there? Yeah, the absence of light, but there is still
in the dark room when there's no light at all, it's so dark.
Yes.
But when it's not as dark, it can be some color.
I've actually got an interesting
sutta quote on your point. Just the important part. Why do you call it feeling Vedana? Because it feels... In other words, not a being or a person. And what does it feel, etc. And why do you call it perception? It perceives, therefore it's called perception. What does it perceive? Blue, yellow, red, white. Therefore it's perceptions. And why do you call them volitional formations? Sankara Khanda. They construct the conditions, therefore they are called volitional formations. Sankatam. Abhisankaranti ti bhikkave tasma sankara ti vuchanti. They construct the constructed, therefore they're called sankara. It means to generate, with the idea that the volitional formations produce the other khandhas to form, which makes apparent the correspondence with the noun formations. And then there's a commentary note. As one is said to cook congee as congee, to bake a cake as cake, the collection of states headed by volition, the sankara khanda, constructs, builds up, amasses, abhisankaroti, ayuhati, sambintati, form itself, called the conditioned, because it is made by a combination of conditions so that it becomes conditioned form in accordance with its nature, for its formness. Tata taya rupa bhavaya. The meaning is that it produces it, niba deti ti ato. This is the sense in brief. It constructs, produces the form arising along with itself and the associated feeling, it, etc. Here too, the Blessed One shows just the specific characteristic of volitional formations, whose characteristic is volition. This is said because volition is the chief of the states, Chaitanya is the chief of the states belonging to the aggregate of volitional formations. So it's quite subtle, pointing to the role of the volitional formations in conditioning the other khandhas, I think.
Just talk about the association between all.
All subtle.
Yeah.
This was from
Samyutta Nikaya.
Khanda Samyutta.
2279. And the commentary note.
Because the subject came up last time
when we were here and there were comments about accumulating, so afterwards I'll check that.
And you made a comment
that citta accumulates kilesa, karma and vipaka depending on sankara khanda. Can you elaborate? So I think it just means that at each moment
it means sankara, the meaning of sankara khanda is
what?
The construct.
Constructing just the association at that moment. So that is the way that citta accumulates depending on the sankara khanda dhammas. Because it cannot act alone.
Tanatanga, when vipassana yana arises, for example, the first vipassana yana, nama rupa parichetana yana, is that when vipassana, the first vipassana yana arises, it doesn't mean that the sense door process doesn't arise, but it's covered by the mind door process.
So what is vipassana again?
Understand clearly.
Yeah, panya understand clearly.
How can it become clear? Through what door we see?
To mind door.
Nothing coming up.
Yeah. It's ignorance that covers up, so Panya cannot cover up.
Yeah. So only mind, Thank you.
Now it's not clear because mind does not appear at all. Sense of all day. See?
And why is it that mind does not appear?
Because the sense has gone. So it understands that particular one which is there, arising and falling away in succession. No break if it's all day.
Because of the speed of chitta?
Right.
Because even mind
no one can stop the
because
succession.
Even mind door thinks about sense door following the
that is thinking but it does not appear. The mind door does not appear.
So that gives a sense of the sense door continuing.
Sense door covers up mind door all day.
That's why there's being upset about what's seen and heard and so on, because it seems to last or it's taken for something or it seems that it's still there. It's no understanding that it's complete.
No pavanga in between now. But the vipassana jnana can see clear up to moment when it arises and falls away, but it is nimitta as well.
So when it's said, when it's vipassana jnana, that it's the opposite, that mind or covers sense or it doesn't actually mean anything is covered up. It means it's clear that most of what was taken for sense door is actually mind door, because mind door is more common and realities are known through the mind door than the nimitta of realities.
And bhavanga, okay. The object of bhavanga is not known, so that makes it also difficult to make that distinction between mind door and sense door. And bhavanga comes in between it all the time.
Not from the first vipassana jnana. Has to keep on developed. Because just the distinction between the characteristic which experiences and that which does not experience is known clearly through mind or separately.
What are you saying about the Bhavanga cheetahs in that context?
What I understood is that, I mean, continuing from my starting point, that the sense door is immediately followed by mind door, which takes the sense object as the sense object as object, and it seems that it's only sense objects appearing all the time, and then there's even though there's bhavanga in between mind door and sense door, that bhavanga and it's a mind door activity does not have an object that can be known.
What do you mean it's a mind door activity?
Bhavanga arises at the heart base, right?
It's not a doorway, object. It arises between.
Door freed, right. In any case, it's not mind door. So, and it's not something that anyone can know, right? So, it seems like it's just sense door continuing. That makes it the sense that the sense door is arising all the time, that there's only sense door experience, is partly because even though there are bhavangas, at that moment it's not known that it's bhavanga.
When we talk about the three rounds, the three vata of kilesa, karma and vipaka, why do we talk about kalesa vata instead of kusala and akusala vata? Because the round is also kusala and akusala.
Without avicca as kalesa, can there be kusala?
No. So when we refer to kalesa vata, it's particularly referring
including avicca.
So including avijja and all that is conditioned by avijja, including kusala, is, so when it refers to kalesavata,
that's right,
kusala is implied because it's conditioned by ignorance. Then
after all akusala has been eradicated, no more kusala.
Yes, okay. So it's particularly emphasizing the ignorance, the avijja. Just slip in one other quick question. When a friend was asking about samatha and samadhi in Vietnam, and you asked about the bojangas, the enlightenment factors, to point out that actually there's an enlightenment factor of samadhi and an enlightenment factor of pasadi or calm, what was the purpose of pointing out that there are these two different enlightenment factors? What is the significance of understanding that there is pasadi and samadhi as enlightenment factors?
Because you see that when right understanding is not strong enough, one can understand moment of samadhi, but not the pasadi.
But when the understanding is strong enough, then it has to understand pasadi as well, and also it has to understand kusala samadhi, not just akusala samadhi, like samadhi that appears now most of the time.
Not any misunderstanding. Because people might take samadhi as calm, see, because it's not clear, right understanding that is not strong enough. Yeah.
And the reason that calm has to be an enlightenment factor is because understanding cannot arise or develop without calm, but there are other wholesome factors it cannot arise without. So why is calm an enlightenment factor?
But the calm appear enough to be known before enlightenment.
Okay. Because it's the higher calm and purified.
With such level of understanding.